Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Majesco Limited investor call today. Please note that we have mailed out the investor presentation, and you can also view the same on the website www.majescolimited.in. To take us through the presentation today and to answer your questions today, we have with us top management of the company, represented by Mr. Ketan Mehta, founder and non-executive director, and Mr. Farid Kazani, managing director. The normal safe harbor clause applies. With that said, I now hand over the call to Mr. Farid. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Asha. A warm good morning to all of you and welcome to this update call. Wishing you and your families a safe stay at your homes and workplace. 2020 has been an unprecedented year for all of us, and it would not have been different for Majesco too. As I look back in March 2020, we were staring at this year to be one of the most challenging years for the management team. But this has eventually turned out to be a milestone period for Majesco's history and ultimately a very satisfying and value-generating event for the shareholders. I am extremely proud to state that Majesco was incubated and nurtured as an insurance product business out of India that successfully generated tremendous business traction in the U.S., which is the largest insurance market globally. Majesco's products have ranked amongst the top three in both the PNC and LNA segments and continues to achieve higher strides. Majesco is the first listed product company from India that has been able to generate and unlock significant value for shareholders, getting nearly 5x of revenue multiple and 39 times of FY20 EBITDA with the stake sale to a well-known private equity, Thoma Bravo. All of this would not have been possible without the dedicated efforts of the management team led by Mr. Ketan Mehta and Adam Elster and supported by the other founders. I would like to personally thank the founders for giving me the opportunity to be an important part in this value creation. The journey actually began exactly 6 years ago in September 2014 when we received the approval from the board of directors for the demerger of the product business for Mastek Limited. I must remind some of the shareholders that the total market capitalization of Mastek in September 2014 was approximately 550 crores. And the combined market cap today is close to 10x in a span of 6 years. Clearly reflects the intent and effort of the founders to deliver value to the long-term shareholders. It is not often that you see Indian founders relinquishing control and distributing the wealth created amongst all its shareholders. Along this journey, I would also like to specifically thank all the shareholders for being extremely supportive and patient and believing in our strategy and trusting the management team. Thank you once again. As you would be aware, we declared our Q2 FY21 results last evening, and it was no surprise. It reflected the divestment of Majesco Limited's entire stake in Majesco US to Thoma Bravo at a price of $16 per share. The deal was consummated on September 21st, 2020, and we received the entire proceeds of $513.8 million on September 22nd, 2020. While none of you may be interested in the financial results of Q2 FY21 at this juncture, I have shared a summary slide on the same in the presentation update, which we just uploaded to the stock exchange this morning. The founders and board had clearly stated the intent to distribute the entire sale proceeds to the shareholders in an equitable manner, expeditiously, and in the most tax-efficient manner. In our last communication, we did mention that we would be closing the transaction by end December and distributing the money within the next few months after taking necessary advice from legal and tax experts on various alternatives to distribute the money. I am happy to state that not only have we closed the transaction in a record time of 45 days, but we have reviewed all possible options to distribute the money in the most expeditious manner and the most tax-efficient way. There were few options and structures which we could have, which could have led to a much more tax-efficient basis, but would have taken a year or two to distribute to shareholders. The founders and board members at the meeting held held this morning have proposed a plan to distribute the proceeds by considering the buyback of 25% of the share capital through a tender route subject to shareholder and SEBI approval at a price per share of rupees 845. The buyback process is contemplated to be completed by end December. Thereafter, the balance monies would be distributed under a dividend route immediately on completion of the share buyback. This was a decision considering the payout to be given in an equitable manner towards the buyback of shares and the dividend route. Now, I would like to take you through the investor presentation, a copy of which would have been mailed to you or can be accessed on the stock exchange website or on our website having the new address www.majesco-limited.in. I will just give a few seconds before you can access the presentation, though we had little time to kind of make this available on this particular call. The objective of taking you to the presentation is to give you complete clarity and disclosure of what the board has decided in terms of distributing the monies. Keep in mind that this buyback, which has been approved by the board, is a little different from the normal buyback that other companies do. This is a buyback which effectively is distributing the monies out of the business that has been divested to the shareholders. And as you're aware, you know, we could go down a various alternatives, but keeping in mind the category of the shareholders, the length of period of time before we distribute the monies, and to ensure that everybody has the right tax impact, we have decided on these particular methods of being the buyback and the dividend route. Let me start with the presentation because you know that will capture all the possible questions that you as shareholders would have. I will move on to slide number 4, which is the Q2 financial performance, capturing the standalone financials and the consolidated financials in brief. On the standalone financials, the total income for the quarter was 5.8 crores, an increase of 6% year on year. The profit before taxes and exceptional income was 2.29 crores as compared to 1.51 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. After accounting for the gain on sale of Majesco USK of ₹1,237 crores and adjusted for taxes, which is capital gains tax, of INR 725 crores, the reported net profit after taxes was 2,510.84 crores for the quarter. The second table on the same slide reflects the performance for the consolidated entity for the quarter. While the net profit before exceptional income is the same, the following has been reflected. The net profit, which is total income less expenses and taxes, of rupees 34.55 crores for the Majesco US subsidiary for a stub period ended September 21st, 2020, as the discontinued business up to the date when Majesco relinquished its control on Majesco US. Secondly, the exceptional income reflected here is INR 3,067.8 crores, which is after netting off the derecognition of the assets and liabilities on account of loss of control accounting and deal-related expenses. Effectively, the net profit after taxes and exceptional income for the period, which is Q2, was INR 2,376.54. I will move on to the next slide, which is slide number 5. This reflects the details of the various regulatory and statutory approvals which were obtained in a record time period of 45 days. And these approvals were across both in US and in India. Moving on to slide number 6. This slide reflects the total value realized from the stake sale. A total of $513.8 million translating to 3,778 crores. And after considering the capital gains tax and expenses, the net amount available for distribution is 3,072 crores, which translates to 1,028 per share. This is marginally lower than the expected 1,038.37, primarily due to the impact of the USD-INR FX rate, which was realized at 73.53 versus 75 rupees that was mentioned in the previous communication. This impacted the cash value per share by rupees 25. This gap has been mitigated to some extent by a lower share count and better expense management. So effectively, shareholders have a cash value of 1,028 as of 30th September 2020. Moving on to slide number 7, and I think it is important to share with the shareholders the disclosure of where the monies have been invested. This slide reflects the detailed investment portfolio for an amount of 3,825 crores across various funds and banks. All of these have been invested in AAA and AAA plus rated banks and funds. The prime consideration for investing in these funds was 100% capital protection, 100% liquidity availability, and zero interest rate risk. I'm sure you will appreciate that as we have invested in these particular investment avenues, it has an interest rate which would not be more than 3 to 3.5% overall for the period that we have invested. Slide number 8. The slide reflects the breakdown of the cash value in hand of 3,825 crores, which includes the sale proceeds of Majestic US, the opening cash balance, and the exercise amount received from the employee stock options as of 30th September 2020. The capital gains tax on sale of investment is estimated at 731 crores, and the net expenses plus the ESOP tax is approximately 22 crores outstanding as of 30th September 2020, resulting in a net distributable amount of 3,072 crores, which I mentioned earlier. This amount does not include any monies from the potential monetization of real estate. The real estate monetization is likely to take time considering the market conditions, and we will keep you updated on the progress of the same. As I move on to slide number 9, this slide reflects the distribution of funds to shareholders through the buyback of 25% capital proposed to be bought back at a price of 845 per share. This 25% buyback of 74.7 lakh shares is envisaged to cost the company a total sum of 778 crores, including the tax on the buyback. Once the buyback is completed, the residual amount of approximately 2,300 crores is envisaged to be distributed as special dividend on the reduced capital. The dividend is subject to approval of the board, and the exact amount and count of shares will vary and would be contingent on the proposed response to the share buyback. The dividend is expected to be declared by end December or early Jan 2021. The basis of distribution of funds through the proposed options was considered to ensure equitable distribution of between the buyback and the payout of dividend, which will be declared by board members immediately after the buyback closure. Shareholders may please note that since the company is required to pay tax on the share buyback, as per the new rules, there will be zero tax in the hands of shareholders, whereas in the case of dividend, the company is only required to deduct the TDS as per the law, but the incidence of tax payment will rest ultimately with each shareholder. I now move on to slide number 10. The slide 10 gives disclosure of the shareholding pattern as of 30th September 2020. Here they are categorized as foreign participants, and within domestic participants, further categorized between individuals and corporate enterprises and stock associations. This shareholding analysis would give the reader a good idea while evaluating his decision to surrender shares in the buyback or hold for dividend. I hope you find this information useful. We will endeavor to distribute the monies as soon as possible, including those out of real estate monetization once it is realized. I have come to the end of my presentation, and I hope this has preempted a lot of the questions, but I'm happy to answer more. I'd like to hand over the call to our founder, Ketan Mehta, to say a few words. Ketan, over to you. And once again, thank you for your continued support and have a good day and stay safe. Ketan, over to you.
Thank you, Farid, and good morning to all of you. I think Farid has probably covered everything about the transaction, about the journey. So really all I want to do is reflect back on our journey. As you know, we created a unique model, taking a risk on being a product company, made number of acquisitions, and invested fair amount of both R&D as well as marketing money to create a product business in the US market. And I'm so happy with the outcome. At the end, we have been able to get a very satisfactory outcome. As you all know, that we closed the deal at $16 for for the entire U.S. business at the time where the market price for the Majesco in the U.S. was in the range of around 7.52, which is a 113% premium over the market price. And we did this transaction at a time when there was a lockdown COVID impact. But all our legal team, as well as Farid and his team, both in U.S. and India, did a fantastic job to get complete all the due diligence, get a very, very quick closure to the transactions. And our intention is to really follow this through with a very quick disbursement of the funds in the hands back to the shareholders. But through this entire journey, I do want to take a moment and really thank all of you for supporting this unique business model, trusting us with all your effort and the capital. And really want to thank all of you for your ongoing support for our business. I'm really pleased with the outcome. From the management side, we feel very pleased with the future of the company, the staff, the customers. So I feel it has been a very satisfactory outcome, not only for the shareholders, but for the entire base of the stakeholders. So do want to thank everybody. Our intention now is to really have a very quick and equitable distribution of funds as quickly as possible in the hands of shareholders. Farid has outlined how we have structured the buyback so that we want to follow this through with a dividend in such a manner that it is an equal and a very equitable distribution for different classes of shareholders with their different differential tax impact which they have. So thanks again, and I'm now, I know you may have many questions, so I don't want to take further time, but I will open it up for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on executing it to the team. And I think this can become a kind of a case study for many people to watch out the way things have evolved in the last 6 years. And, of course, a lot of efforts on creating IP prior to that. So congratulations to the entire management team for this. My question is related to the other income potential. I think, Farid, you said somewhere there's a 3.5% yield on the portfolio that we have invested. Is it for the tenure we may possibly hold the cash, or this is the annualized yield that we are talking about? And on the same thought process, the other income of, you know, that we have booked of close to 37 crore in this quarter, this is coming from the same portfolio investment, or if you could give any view on that.
Thank you, Rahul, for your questions. Let me just break it up. The money has been invested, keeping in mind that we will exhaust this money by end December. So it's a very short period that the money would be invested. The return after tax is not significant. So whatever interest that we earned is going to get utilized towards our ongoing expenses that are there and some kind of upgrading of the real estate that we need to do so that we get a good price for the real estate. So really speaking, we are ensuring that money gets parked and dedicated for that purpose. On the second question, the amount is not 37 crores, it's 3.7 crores, which was a normal kind of cash that was there with us, and the ESOP money that came in earlier that got invested and we got the return on that money. Yeah.
Right. So you are saying one should not expect significant thing coming from this 3,000 crore, which possibly we may be holding for a quarter. Even assuming a 1% yield, probably this would be 30-odd crores, but this can possibly go toward meeting the expenses. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, so Rahul, a good kind of guess on the calculation, but if you look at it, we've invested in very, very secured instruments, which do not give that kind of yield because we wanted 100% security, 100% liquidity. So we had to compromise on the interest rate. And I think keeping in mind, this money is for shareholders. We've not done any kind of, we've not taken any risk to invest it in high yielding securities. These are very, very typical where the yield is not more than 3.1%. So the amount is going to be much less. And I did mention that this amount will get utilized towards expenses and upgrading the real estate.
Right. And lastly, from this real estate monetization part, so in a hypothetical situation, if we are not able to conclude this deal, let's say by December or January, when we plan to make a dividend payout, does that mean we will still do the entire cash payout by that time, excluding this transaction, or we have to probably wait till that also go through?
No, so Rahul, we are very clear. We will distribute the money as dividend immediately after the buyback closure, and we will estimate the cash requirement for future, which is for managing the real estate and some expenses, and keeping some money for contingencies because, you know, we are obviously paying the taxes. We don't want any contingency on that. So we will estimate the amount that is going to be with us in hand, okay? And that will be a very, very small amount. So you can be rest assured we will not hold up the dividend process for this purpose. Okay?
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyamal Durve from Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats to the management team on the sale of Majesco US and completing the formalities in quickly. So my only question is on the buyback price of 845. Like, what was the rationale of making the buyback price at 845 when the fair value as per our assessment is 1,000 plus and the market price is also close to the buyback price? Would not it be prudent to give some premium so that there would be a participation by all type of shareholders in a tax-efficient manner?
So it's a good question, and I think this is very relevant for shareholders to understand. We did mention the principle that whatever we do, we are keeping in mind that this is not a typical buyback, okay, which is definitely done keeping in mind surplus cash for ongoing or companies, you know, which would be only doing very typical small buybacks. This is actually a distribution of money, okay? So it's a little different method, but the distribution of money is used through a route of giving the money buyback through a buyback mechanism. Keep in mind, when we are giving the buyback price of 845, it is after paying tax. The tax on the buyback is 23.296%. So effectively, the company is paying the tax and giving it to you as post-tax in your hand at 845. So if you gross it up for tax, Shaman, this amount will be 1,030 roughly, okay? And which is exactly equivalent to the cash value on hand of around 1,028, which I did mention in the presentation, okay? So if we had increased the price for the buyback at a much higher price, which effectively, assuming that the buyback gets completely subscribed by sections of the shareholding community, then we are estimating that the balance amount that will be available as dividend will be lesser than 1,028 when we give dividend. And dividend is what you will receive and pay tax in your hands based on your tax rates. So obviously, we have not gone down the path to deciding what tax rates are there for each constituent of shareholders. It was very important that we kept a pre-tax distribution of 1,028. So that is how we have gone about.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congrats on the deal execution. And I'm sure this is a role model for product companies in terms of execution as well as the corporate governance. And my question is on the real estate part, on the Mapei property, can you just give us the contours of the property and what is the square feet and what's the current market value?
So the current building is roughly 120,000 square feet. Market value is very difficult to estimate at this point in time. You know the market conditions. So it'll be very difficult to put a guess on that number. we are looking at upgrading the property, okay, where we have actually, we had a piece of land and we had started construction of a second building, okay, and that is almost at a stage where we will complete the second building by March of 2021, which effectively gives us another close to around 45,000-50,000 square feet. So we are talking about a total land parcel, which would be closer to 160,000-170,000 square feet. And I think that will be the right time in March where we examine what is the likely, value that we can get through potential buyers. And these could be buyers either in the direct buyers, it could be real estate developers, or it could be REIT funds. So we have a clear plan of how we are going to approach this. We will obviously again take help of experts. So while I cannot give you any idea about the value at this point in time, I can tell you that we will approach it in a manner that we will try and see how best we can maximize by creating a parcel that is marketable. The other fact that you need to keep in mind that this can fetch a better value if the property is completely occupied by a tenant. At this point in time, our tenant, which is Majesco Software Solutions India Private Limited, the subsidiary of the US company, has an agreement till November 20, that is by end of November. We are in discussions to see how we can get them to extend that. If they extend the contract and they remain as tenants in the property, then it becomes a very much better marketable asset as compared to a property which is vacant. So these are some of these kind of nuances which will determine how much value we get. Therefore, I at this stage cannot determine a value. I cannot even determine timing. All I'm saying is that we are working with a process and hope to get a good price.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for this update. Just to clarify, the land area is 160,000 square feet.
The built-up area is 160,000 square feet.
So what is the land area?
I don't have the exact land area calculations with me right now, yeah?
Okay, no problem. Yeah, so are promoters, I presume promoters would be participating in the buyback. Is that a correct assumption?
So when you get the notice of the buyback, you will have basically disclosures by each of the promoters of their participation. Yeah, there are NRI shareholder promoters and there are domestic promoters. So each of them will have their choices and they will make a disclosure accordingly. Yeah?
And when you make the payouts of the dividend in January, is there any procedures that will take time, or as soon as the buyback is concluded by your target date in December, you'll be free to make the payouts? Can we budget, say, 10th of January broadly?
I mean, see, the buyback process is a shareholder process and a SEBI process. So SEBI timing is something not in our hands, okay? So if the SEBI approval comes in, you know, we will work towards closing the buyback as soon as possible. Then it is just a matter of time that we will call an immediate board meeting and announce a special dividend. And there's no other roadblock to it.
Okay. And for the buyback, we understand you need a limited review of the books to be conducted by your auditors. That's completed. Okay.
Yes, we fortunately had all this planned out, and we have done an audit of the September numbers. So what you're seeing, we had the meeting for the Q2 results, which was an audited result, okay, for the YTD September, basis which we were able to kind of call a meeting for the buyback today in the morning. Yeah?
Thank you. And Farid, once again, great leadership from your side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neerav Dalal from Maybank Kiming Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just one clarification. In terms of the buyback, it will be on the tender route, meaning everyone will be eligible to X number of shares. So it will be restricted to that number, right? If the entire buyback is not full, it wouldn't mean that the people who have applied for it will be getting more. Just a clarification.
No, so if all 100% shareholders participate, then the equitable or proportionate buyback will be 25%. Let's assume 75% only of the shareholders subscribe to the buyback, then the proportion will be 25 over 75, which will be 33%. Okay, but keep in mind there is a 15% reservation for small shareholders.
Right, but yeah, so that's what. So for so, but every application will have eligible number of shares, which one which the shareholder will apply for, right? So if there are 100 shares, 25 shares would be eligible. He can add more if he wants, but that is how it will work, right?
Yeah, that is how typically buyback works. So your your form will show you 25%, but
okay,
you have a column saying that, do you want to subscribe to additional shares?
Got that.
So you
got
decide
that.
What you want to do. If you want to give the entire thing, ultimately there will be a proportionate buyback.
Not an issue. And whatever is the shortfall will be added to the dividend and will be paid as dividend. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Take care.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Katkoria from PGIM India. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just had a question regarding, you know, what happens to the shares after, you know, we pay the dividend. Of course, they will go ex dividend, but, you know, we still have to wait for the sale of the property. So what's the final process in terms of, you know, taking the India entity public, and what happens to the current shares that we the shareholders are holding? Thank you.
So, you know, till the time we don't get to finality, okay, you'll remain shareholders and the company will remain listed, okay? The process is after we complete this dividend announcement, which will be approved by the board,
right.
The real estate monetization is a period which we really cannot determine. So till the time the real estate monies are there, okay, and needs to be monetized, we will wait till that time. We will get the money. We will distribute that money, obviously, again, in the most tax-efficient manner. Then I cannot distribute monies to the extent of the capital, okay? And if I have to then wind up the company, okay, and distribute the capital also, then I have to go in for a voluntary delisting and dissolution of the company, which is another time-consuming process because that goes to the NCLT. Now, whether that will be the route adopted by the company, none of that has been decided as of now. There are other methods where we can do some other structuring. At this point in time, we have not put our minds to it. So I think once we get to that stage, which is another 6 months down the line, we'll come back and tell you, you know, what's the approach. And we'll be happy to kind of take advice from the right guys to help us to, again, make it possible for all shareholders to gain in that entire closure whenever it happens.
Okay. Thank you. So the shares will continue to be listed and traded even beyond the dividend?
Yes. It will be continued.
Till there is a complete wind down of the company.
I mean, it will be ex-dividend. Whether we wind up, whether we
yes.
do something else, it's not decided right now.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Bhatt from Oyster Rock Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is for Mr. Mehta. If you could provide insight on the sale of the company from a promoter perspective. So, you know, what were the considerations as a promoter, both individually and collectively? And, you know, how did the consensus on this decision happen? You know, what were the key thoughts and milestones along the way? If you can give us an insight on that, Mr. Mehta, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So, essentially, we were not really looking out for putting up really company for a sale. And we were all focused on really building the business. At the same time, we were very open to the market opportunities in terms of valuation and the returns we can get it for the shareholders. But we really got an unsolicited offers, and I was initially not very upbeat about it. Given the COVID time, I thought the valuation will not be really very appropriate. But I was actually pleasantly surprised at the types of valuations we started seeing in the market. And when we really saw from a holistic perspective, we realized that it is actually a great return to the shareholders. The key consideration that time was not only the return, but also the risk. And we looked at our three-year trajectory, the projections, the plans the company had. And obviously, we are very upbeat about the company even now. But we recognize that considering the risk-reward mechanisms, this is a very attractive return to the shareholders at this point of time. So that was one primary consideration. Then we also looked at the impact on the employee base, customers, and other stakeholders, and looked at it, and we found that this is also a great transaction for all the stakeholders. In fact, the employee base is quite happy, and that has been an important consideration for all of us as founders as well. But broadly speaking, as you know, we have the independent CEOs running the company. We were active only at the board level, and we were focused on making sure that if we have a right level of shareholder return opportunities, we should be open to taking that. And fortunately, we got a fantastic offer, which we felt is in interest of everybody.
Okay, then I'd just like to add a couple of pointers to this, and I know that Mehul is a very astute investor. Mehul, just to kind of give you a background, okay, we have had a legal structure, which is a company listed in India as a whole co and a company listed in the US, okay, as an operating co. We obviously ran into an issue or a problem of how to kind of manage the stakeholder valuations considering both these listed entities. Now, keep in mind, the listed entity in the US had a big issue of a liquidity of shares, which would not have allowed a right price discovery having continued to remain listed. Okay. The only other option was to kind of then dilute significantly and create a higher base of shareholders, which effectively would have increased the liquidity, and then a price discovery would have taken. But that would have meant a dilution at $7-$7.5 at that price. So we obviously were battling with that issue. The second issue that we were battling was a larger base of shareholders, including promoters and minority shareholders in India, which are at the holdco. And you knew that typically Indian holdco companies are looked at very negatively and discounted by 50%, and we were discounted by 50%. Now, if you look at those considerations, which we had to unshackle, it kind of made us feel that the only way we can discover and get the valuation is by doing sale of the operating entity at a good valuation, which takes care of this, ultimately unlocking the structure and paying for even the leakage in terms of taxes. So I think the offer that we got was at a significant premium of 113% in the US and almost 200% premium to the India price for giving value to shareholders. So in all, I think the promoters could have continued to remain with the company and have it listed and continued. But in the interest of all the shareholders, considering that this was a good valuation and there was no reason to reject it, I think they worked in a direction that they brought ultimate value to all the shareholders. So that's the real background also. Besides that, you know, I'm sure that all the shareholders in the US and India are very delighted with the price.
Sure. Thanks, Sari. Thank you, Mr. Mehta.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Gupta from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a very quick question, and I forgive me if this was covered earlier. But we have a shareholding pattern slide number 10. Wanted to know whether this includes now the full ESOP dilution, or is there any more dilution that could come on this share base?
So most of the ESOPs have got exercised. There's a very small component which will happen because, you know, some of the employees were not able to get monies to invest. So we've given them 60 days time, okay, because that is a fair period to give employees.
Sure.
So my guess is another 100,000 shares could be potentially there, but not more than that. So so we are at, I think, 29.9 million. It'll end up at 30 million shares, I would guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the number that you gave in your earlier presentation a few months back. That was the fully diluted. So we can work with that, I think, for now.
In fact, I had given 30.3. Yeah. I'm sure it will be less than 30.3. Less than 30.3, yeah?
Understood. That's it from my side. Thanks, you know, once again for all the transparency that you all have shown. I think as investors, it's a little bittersweet for us because it will be tough for us to find another company of this caliber now to put the money into.
Thank you for those words of appreciation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Ankit Pandey from Quant Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Morning, Ketan and Farid. Many congratulations once again. My question would be, you know, on the buyback process, when is the record date and the shareholders' approval would be required? So I suppose that is required. Am I right?
Yes, there is a shareholder approval required. You will get all the details in the notice that comes to you. But just to kind of let you know, we will be calling the extraordinary general meeting on 2nd November 2020. And post which we will get to SEBI for their approval. SEBI process would take close to 3 weeks. Once we get that, then we will announce the record date and we'll have the tender offer for open for 10 days. Yeah.
Okay, great. And also, I just wanted to check if you have any other property apart from the MAPE one. I think the MIDC one we have vacated. Is that right?
No, so we don't have any other property at all. There was an MIDC property which remained with Mastek. That is the Andheri one, which remained with Mastek, yeah? in the pre-demerger stage. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much. And congratulations once again. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And all my questions are already answered. Just wanted to congratulate the management. Fabulous work and amazing transparency that you have maintained. Very few companies with such a, you know, transparent mechanism are there in India. I appreciate that and wish you all the best for future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkat from 3 Sigma Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Feeling very sad that a product company is sold out while everybody is congratulating. You know, I have a very sad feeling that the company is sold out. Until I attended the call, I was thinking, you know, the company will exist and some kind of products will continue to be developed. Looks like that is not going to happen now. Is that true?
I'll leave this question to Ketan to answer whether he wants to do something else. But yeah.
No, I would say that and I've got many calls in the last quarter, but of how the different product companies model are evolving. So I'm very upbeat about the IT-based product business coming out of India. I feel for Majesco, this was a right decision, a right valuation, a right price, but I am very confident that we'll have many other product companies, and I'm hoping that many others can take any lessons out of our experience and build and invest into the product business, because I'm sure that will happen.
Okay, thank you very much.
I echo that very clearly. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jawar from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I just want to know one question. Like in the post buyback, are we talking about the dividend of 1020 rupees per share?
So I think you have done a basic calculation of the amount that is available divided by, I think, the number of shares that will remain after a successful buyback. So you are not wrong in assuming that. But as I told you, it all depends upon the quantum of the shares that get delivered in the buyback. And therefore, we're not determining a rupee per share. That will get ultimately determined after buyback gets over and a board decision to determine an exact value, as I had mentioned earlier. We've clearly mentioned and transparently mentioned that the money is available post-buyback for dividend will be close to 2,300 crores.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Giving me the opportunity, I just want to congratulate the management for amazing corporate governance and transparency. As one participant said earlier, a good product company is no longer going to be there. So feel a bit of sadness, but overall great outcome for all the stakeholders. My questions have already been answered, and most of it has been already answered in the presentations you have given. So I don't have any questions, but congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of DV Jalan from KLG Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My question is a twofold. One is, what will happen to all other subsidiaries which we are having in a Majesco? And second is that if we assume the total buyback of share is completed, say that 25%, after that, how much dividend per share will be coming?
So all the subsidiaries that were there as part of the organization were 100% under the US company. The sale that has happened is the sale of our Majesco Limited stake in Majesco US. Having divested that, all the subsidiaries have been divested together with Majesco US. So we do not have any further subsidiaries now in Majesco Limited.
Okay.
And to answer your second question, we had an earlier gentleman who did some calculation on the dividend price based on 2300 crores. So I think you could also probably do that same assessment.
Okay. Thank you very much for the even to the management for taking excellent and bold decision in the interest of shareholder. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Karela, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. My question is a simple thing that after completing this buyback procedure and after giving this dividend, how much money you are going to invest in further development of the real estate of 50,000 to 60,000 square feet as informed? So how much money you are going to invest in that project? Thank you.
So good question. The land was always there, and the development cost could be another 7 to 8 crore rupees only. Okay, so it's not much of a cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishwanath Chetika, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I would like to congratulate the whole team for the whole deal. My question is, what is the expected expenses which we will be incurring to run the company till the time of liquidation before disbursing the dividend? And what is the income that we expect against that?
Yeah, so, you know, we have a few costs, which is the cost of salary, cost of maintaining the real estate. And then I just mentioned about the cost for the further kind of development that we are doing, okay? So we envisage the amount that we will get from the investment income and some rental will be more or less equal to the expenses that we will incur in the next 6 months. But
okay.
Keep in mind that we need to keep some contingency. Prima facie, when we get to a stage where ultimately we may have to go to NCLT to wind up, at that point in time, we don't want a surprise from any constituent. Hopefully, it will not be. There are no creditors that are there in the company. But we obviously have tax assessments that have been done only till 2017. There are tax assessments yet to take place, right? And therefore, there were operations that were carried out after 2017. So, you know, you just don't want to kind of leave a window open that if there is anything that comes around and you don't have money, I can't get back to the shareholders or founders to ask for money. So I will keep a contingency reserve. Once everything is done, that contingency reserve also will be given back to the shareholders. This is a very prudent approach that we have to take, yeah?
Oh, okay. I got it. Thanks for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to congratulate Mr. Mehta, the other founders, and Fareed for creating tremendous value. And I think I just want to note the fact that you guys got the deal value higher within a month of the first announcement. So congrats. And that's all I had to say on this call. Thank you.
Thanks, Rajesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Puladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire team for the amazing deal and executing amazing top governance. Just one question. On the dividend, whatever you will be declaring, is there any statutory provisions wherein you can declare the, that much dividend only? I think there is something like you cannot, you can do only 85% of the free reserves.
No, there is nothing like that. We can distribute to the extent of the reserves that we have. So we will distribute that dividend, the amount which is available as free reserves.
Okay, yeah. That answers my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Garwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning there.
Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, I just want to congratulate about for the good execution and the good execution and the transparency in the deal. And all my questions are just answered before my turn. So I just want to congratulate you for the good execution and transparency in the deal. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarfaraz, individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Sarfaraz, your line is unmuted. You may please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning, everybody, and congrats to the management team. My question, I have two questions. First one is on the property value. I can understand you're not able to give a value of the property. Will you be able to shed some light on the kind of rental income?
Yeah, so the rental income is market determined. Okay, at this point in time, we get roughly around 70 lakh rupees per month on our current property.
Okay, and the second and last question I had was when you did this transaction with Thoma Bravo, there must have been some kind of warranties you would have had to give as a seller. How have these been taken care of so they don't come back as a liability for the company after the dividend is distributed?
Yeah, great question. So I think we've been efficient enough to ensure that there is no reps and warranties and there is nothing that Majesco Limited needs to satisfy with regard to anything that happens after the business. So it was given as based on after all the detailed diligence that was done by them, and there is no reps and warranties or any liabilities that Majesco Limited in future will carry. What's in what? More so, we have also got Thoma Bravo to cover the directors and officers for 6-year tail insurance against any liability that may arise with related to the past. So we also covered our directors to that extent, which has got paid by Thoma Bravo. Yeah.
So if I understand you correctly, there's some kind of either you've not given these reps and warranties or it's been covered under an insurance policy.
No, we've not given any reps and warranties. I'm saying that further, we've got them to cover our directors on our board for any liability that may arise in future with regard to the past period. So even if there's a third party claim that comes directly on our directors, okay, we will get covered under the insurance. So we have no kind of liability from the company side to be given to Thoma Bravo or any third party.
Okay. Thank you very much and congrats to all of you once again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pavan Jakudia, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations. I'm myself from IT product company, and I take a pride in, and I can understand, you know, the pride that one would have on getting such a recognition internationally in terms of the valuation. My question was related to, you know, in your slide, you were saying that, you know, 70% of the population or the shareholders, if you look at it, are the shareholders holding less than 200 shares. Okay, and I also believe in shareholders who have been a long-term shareholders, right? Now, given grandfathering price, which is 570, given that long-term capital gains are 10%, Somewhere I felt a little disappointed with the buyback price, because while it could be beneficial for a set of shareholders, for the 70% shareholders population, if you look at it, it would have been more tax efficient had the buyback been greater than 1,000. Or am I wrong somewhere in my calculation? You could guide me.
No, that's really important to understand that these 70%, I mean, we're talking about almost around 78% of our shareholder base, roughly 18,000 odd shareholders who hold less than 200 shares, will be benefited if they continue to remain a shareholder and have a dividend. Because if they have a tax rate which is much lesser, and I'm assuming that their tax rate is lesser than some high net worth individuals and companies, they would be actually beneficiaries to remain as dividend, but I cannot speak for them at all. But keep in mind, they have other options to sell in the market if they get a better price, and then the tax is equivalent to capital gains tax, where they can get grandfathering or some other set of losses. So I think it's important for each shareholder, based on all the information that we've given transparently, to decide their own tax impact on this transaction, whether to give in buyback, whether to sell in the market, or whether to remain as dividend and remain as shareholder. So I think each individual for its own self has to kind of make its determination, which is why we've given so much of information that can help them to understand that. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the floor back to the management for their closing comments.
Ketan, over to you.
So I do want to again thank all of you for a continued support to Majesco over the last 5 years. So it has been a great journey, and I thank you all and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Majesco Limited,